We're back to the Neil Haley Show, and it's the Author's Corner segment, and I'm just really, really, really excited to welcome to the program author of Diana, I'm Going to Be Me, Phil Dampier. Phil, thanks for calling. And you know what, Phil? The Diana is something that, especially in the United States, is something that if you grew up in that time period, it's just there's so many people that wanted to be Diana. And I'm sure you hear that conversation That's right. all the time.
Yeah, that's right. It's an absolute phenomenon, isn't it? And for me, a reporter who was actually reporting on her at the height of her fame 25, 30 years ago, it's bringing back all sorts of memories, as you can imagine, this 20th anniversary. It kind of seems like yesterday. But what fascinates me most is that a lot of people are coming to it completely fresh. You know, when you think about it, if you could be a young parent with a kid in a pram, age 20, and you weren't even alive when Diana died. And anyone under 30 probably doesn't remember her. So for a whole generation of people, they are discovering this woman for the first time, and they are finding her a fascinating historical figure, a fascinating fashion icon, a trailblazer in all sorts of fields like AIDS, HIV, and landmines, and somebody who really changed the monarchy. And, of course, they know all about William and Harry, and it's only now that they're kind of seeing where William and Harry get a lot of their personality from their mother. And it's fascinating to see people discover it for the first time. And as you say, people rediscovering it.
For sure. And they want to talk about it. And then the specials come out and all the different things and the 20th anniversary. And to think about specifically enough Diana, it really, so I was going to say, Phil, before the question I was trying to think, thinking about Diana, is that she really shook Britain by storm, right? That they did not expect a princess to act like she acted. But it changed the whole way the monarchy would be. So kind of explain when she came on the rise and she married Prince Charles, how it kind of changed a lot of what you look at when you look at a princess.
Well, that's right. In the early 1980s, which is when she joined the royal family, you've got to remember, she was only 20 years old. That's the amazing thing. So she came into it with a lot of naivety, a lot of fresh ideas. And as you say, she was completely different from any other royal. And before that, if you'd been reporting on the Queen or Princess Margaret or the Queen Mother, it would all be sort of, you know, don't get too close to them, don't touch them. And Diana was completely different. She would be very touchy-feely with people. She would even talk to us, the press, who were following her around. And kind of interact with us. And I think that's where she got a lot of her popularity. She was quite good at manipulating the press. And I remember all sorts of occasions when we were following her around and she would, for example, on a holiday, when she would know that we were there and she would strip off to a bikini on a beach or something like that, knowing full well what she was doing and that those photographs would be front page the next day. And of course, you know, it was only a few years later that we realized that there was something terribly wrong with the marriage, and it came as a complete shock to people because in public she seemed so happy, and a lot of the time, you know, she just seemed totally relaxed. So it's amazing the way she hid that and also hid her illness because she had an eating disorder, bulimia nervosa, which was brought on by the stress of it all. So it was a fascinating period.
When you were covering her, was she willing to talk to you? Kind of explain that for our listeners out there, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about the book. It's Phil. It's just fascinating that you were at that time period and you were covering the royals. Did you get ever a chance to chat with her and stuff?
Yeah, she would chat to us all the time. I mean, a lot of it was just kind of banter. I mean, she had a bit of an obsession with clothes, and she would come up to you and say, "Oh, are you wearing that? You wearing that tie for a bet? You know, I can't stand your shoes and stuff like that." And I always remember once I was covering a trip to Brazil, and I was standing under the famous statue of Christ in Rio de Janeiro. And it was a very, very hot day, and I was wearing a kind of short-sleeved Hawaiian-type floral shirt. And she came over to me, and she said, "I see you've dressed for the occasion." And it was all that sort of banter, you know, and the sort of jokes that she would make. And I do remember one of my rivals on another paper saying, "She's looking at me. She keeps flirting with me. It looks like she likes me, you know, and she sort of looks like she's making eyes at me." And we all told him he was just imagining it. And about a year later, that was Andrew Morton, and he'd written the book with Diana's permission about her story and made himself a millionaire overnight. So he was right and we were wrong.
Amazing, for sure, for sure. So why did you write this book? I know you've written a lot of books about the royals, why Diana, this one? What's different? You know, there's lots of books out there about Princess Diana, but what makes this really special? I guess because you've covered her, but a lot of the quotes kind of tell our listeners what we should expect when we purchase the book.
Well, as far as I know, this is the first actual comprehensive collection of her quotes. I think there's we've got way over 200 of them. And it's the first time it's been done in this way. And, of course, it's just in her own words. Now, some of her own words contradict themselves. You know, some of the things she said, like, you know, her wedding was the happiest day of her life. And then on another occasion, she told a friend that as she was walking up the aisle in St. Paul's Cathedral, she looked across and saw Camilla Parker Bowles, who, of course, she thought then, even then, was a love rival. And she said, if I'd had the courage, I would have lifted up my dress and run out the church. And so some of her stuff contradicted herself. She was, you know, she was quite a complex character. And what I've tried to show in the book is her warts and all, if you like, you know, the Diana in the round. I'm not saying that she was a saint, you know, or that she was perfect. She had a lot of faults like the rest of us. And I think that's why people liked her, because they identified with her as a person who, you know, sometimes got things wrong. But there's a lot of humor in the book. And we've got quotes like she said of George Michael, who was a close friend of hers. He's gay. What a waste. also, she talked about Naomi Campbell, the supermodel, and she said that woman is true. That girl is truly beautiful, truly gorgeous. She could wear a black inliner and she'd look fantastic. And kind of humor like that, which a lot of people might not know about. You know, they all know about the famous quotes about her saying there were three people in the marriage. And obviously, we've got that in the book, but we've got a lot of other obscure quotes as well, which I think bring out the personality of Diana.
So, Phil, mostly quotes in the book, or what else is in the book?
Yeah, it's all quotes in the book. It's all her own words. And what we've done is we've divided it into three sections before she met Prince Charles, and then the engagement. And then, of course, after they got married, while she was married to Prince Charles. And then the third section is obviously afterwards, when she'd divorced from Prince Charles. And so it's split into three sections. And it's quite interesting to see the contrast between the three different areas, you know, how she went into it with a lot of hope and, as I say, some naivety and innocence, if you like. And at the end, you know, in some ways she was a bit cynical, but also she was definitely looking forward to the future. And that's where we get the title of the book. She made these tapes, as you know, with this voice coach, Peter Settling, and in one of the tapes she said, I'm fed up with doing what other people want me to do. I'm fed up with other people telling me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be me. And I think in many ways that's what's so tragic about her death, is that you know, she was only 36, like Marilyn Monroe, yeah. And she still had so much to offer. And so that's why it's tragic that it was cut short, because I'm sure she would have gone on to achieve a great deal more.
Now Phil, when I'm thinking about this, the book, and specifically enough, the quotes, how has the royal family reacted to you writing this book? How have they reacted, especially that are related?
Well, there's been a lot of programs. I don't know how many have been shown in America. There's been a lot of programs and a lot of magazine articles and a lot of special supplements that have come out to mark the 20th anniversary of Diana's death. It's actually 2 days away, on August the 31st, as you know, and tomorrow, the day before the anniversary, William and Kate, his wife Kate, the Duchess of Cambridge, and Prince Harry are going to go to the White Garden in Kensington Palace, where they live, and they're going to meet members of charities that work with Diana, and they're going to walk around this lovely garden, which is a special commemoration to her. But we've really had about 6 months of commemorations and articles and interviews, and of course even William and Harry have given interviews, as well as there was a program the other evening that one of Diana's sisters gave an interview for the first time, the brother Earl Spencer. And so we really are getting to the bottom of a lot of the truth surrounding her life, and it's been fascinating. It's almost been like there's been more interest in the 20th anniversary than there was in the 10th anniversary. And as I say, I think that's very much due to the new generation,
for sure. So give us some memories of Diana that you would love to account for when you covered her.
Well, I'm very proud to say, as you say, it's fascinating to look back and be there at historical moments. And I always remember being at a hospital, a clinic in London, when she first shook the hand of an AIDS patient, and it's very difficult to describe to people these days what a stigma there was surrounding AIDS, HIV in those days. It was very much seen as a gay plague, and people didn't know much about the disease, and they were worried that if they touched somebody who was infected, that they could catch it, and there was absolute panic all over the world. Certainly in the Western world, and Diana just blew that away overnight by shaking the hand of an AIDS victim in a hospital in London, and that made all the difference. And then I remember again in Brazil when we went to Sao Paulo and we went to a hospital for AIDS babies there, and again she hugged these babies, and that made front page news all over the world. And she really did break down the stigma surrounding that, and I think that was one of her major achievements. And just being there, seeing that, was quite a moment.
And she was interested in talking to anybody, right? She looked at the common folk and she was willing to have those conversations with them. Isn't that correct, Phil?
Yeah, I think that was the key to her popularity and her success. I mean, she wasn't academically bright. I mean, we've got a quote in the book. You know, she says, you know, I'm thick as two short planks. You know, and I've got the brain the size of a pea. And you know, she left school without any qualification. She failed all her exams twice. And left school without. She went to a finishing school in Switzerland, paid for by her parents, but she didn't actually have any qualifications. And then she became a nursery nurse, of course. But she was fantastic with people. She was a great communicator, and as you say, she was able to talk to the average man in the street, as well as, you know, prime ministers and presidents and you know, royalty from other countries. You know, she would talk to anyone in the same way. You know, I think that's she was totally natural. And, you know, sometimes that got her into trouble, but people loved her all the more for it.
That's tremendous, Phil. And looking back at all this, Phil, are you still covering the Royals, by the way? The latest, what's
yes,
going on?
Yes, I am. Yeah. I've been doing it, I'm 60 now. I've been doing it for 30 years. I'm going to Toronto next month to cover Prince Harry and the Invictus Games when he's doing that crazy event for disabled servicemen and women. And of course, we're all speculating as to whether he's going to marry Meghan Markle, of course, the girl from California who stars in Suits and lives in Toronto. And a lot of speculation around that. And of course, and I think Diana would have been proud of him. I think she would have said, marry for love. And if Meghan's the one, then go for it. I'm sure she would have approved.
Do you think they're approachable now, the Royals, more than when you first covered them? Meaning because of the Diana relationship and how Diana's kids are really becoming more and more open compared to the Royals before?
Definitely, I think William and Harry want to carry on her legacy. And there was an interview the other day where William said that he and Harry could have reacted two ways to their mother's death. You know, they could either let it make or break them. And, you know, he could have crawled into a hole and just sort of had this terrible burden over him. But he decided that his mother would have wanted him to cope with it and to come out the other side. You know, and to be a happy family man as he is, and B, to carry on her legacy. And the best way to do that, obviously, is to carry on some of her work with some of the charities she was involved in, and to make a difference. And definitely, I think her greatest legacy is her sons, William and Harry. You know, they are carrying on her work, you know, they are her greatest achievement.
So everyone needs to pick up Phil's book, Diana, I'm Going to Be Me. And where's the best place we can find information on you, Phil? Where can we go?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon or, you know, any of the online retailers, Amazon.com, and it's there. Diana, I'm Going to Be Me. The full title is Diana, I'm Going to Be Me, The People's Princess Revealed in Her Own Words. Bit of a long title, but it's as I say, it's not expensive. It's a nice, easy read for people coming to Diana for the first time.
And listening to these quotes and saying, do I want to model these things? Am I going to have this persona, how she transformed the world? Phil, that's it. That there are iconic people like that transform the world and do great things.
I'm sure some people will be inspired by it. Yeah, I hope they will, and they'll be inspired by some of the good work she did. One of the funniest quotes I thought was when Prince William was only about 8 years old, he went on his first sort of royal walkabout in Cardiff down in Wales. And afterwards, Princess Diana said to a friend, she said, you know, it's funny, isn't it? Most mothers tell their children not to talk to strangers. And here I am telling my children that's exactly what they've got to do. I thought that was a great quote that summed up her sense of humor.
That's important for sure, Phil. Thanks for calling and best of luck in all your ventures. And I appreciate you calling.
Thanks very much.
Take care. All right. See you later.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to the Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.